Praise God. That is who he is, right? Have a seat. He's a way maker, miracle worker. You know, I want you to remember those words today as we look at today's message. And quite a few of the songs we sing this morning, I don't know how Kayla does it. I do. The Lord is leading. Could have picked all those songs for today's message. But you know, Vince, I want to thank you for Sunday school this morning. I learned a lot about feathers. I also learned that God is the originator of all creation. But I also learned what my problem is. My collagen is breaking down and decaying as we speak. if you're missing that in the during the Sunday school hour, I encourage you to come and hear these wonderful, amazing truths. You know, I'm just so thankful to be here as I look at you, as I'm in here singing and worshiping with you. I love you all. I am so thankful for God and the blessings of the brotherhood and sisterhood we have in the family of Jesus Christ. I can think of no place I'd rather be than worshiping with you, except worshiping with you in glory. Wow. You know, this morning, right before, while singing was going on, someone came up and was talking to me. Julia, I'm so proud of you. We need to be praying for our young people as they are engaging in the battle for Jesus Christ in the world today. What an answer to prayer she is. And I know I'm not sharing anything about what that conversation was, but my point is I'm just blessed this morning. I'm blessed this morning. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessing someone else this morning? Are you edifying and encouraging one another? I pray you are. None of that's planned, but here we go. You ready to get into the Win Jesus series? You know, at last, we come to the definitive answer from Jesus to that great question from the apostles. What will be the sign of your coming? Jesus has described many events so far, and we've looked at them leading up to his coming, leading up, look at you, you did it, my man. Leading up to the end of the age. Wow. We've seen worldwide trouble on the horizon, sorrows and strife, false prophets, false Christs, the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, the great tribulation to come, and the rapture. But all of that had the stamp of, in verse 6, not yet. How many of you love those words, not yet? But in our passage this morning, we turn from not yet to yes. Here he is. He is coming, and here is the sign. Let's read it together. You can turn with me to Matthew 24. We're back into the Olivet Discourse now. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And we say to this, wow. Can you all say that with me? Wow. That's some wow factor. Can we say tremendous? Amazing, spectacular. I mean, what words can describe this? If what Jesus just said does not thrill us, does not excite us, does not float your boat, I do not know what will. To see the Lord that we love, the Lord that you love, to see your Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior once crucified, who's been denied, who's been disdained and dishonored by so many throughout the world and for so long, now coming with power and the glory due him, is exciting, is wow. You see, it's the culmination of the Word of God. This is the promise of Jesus that closes the Bible being fulfilled in Revelation 22:20. Yes, I am coming quickly. Yet, though that's his promise, this is the prayer of the saints that closes the Bible being fulfilled. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, I'm coming quickly. Wow. Today, let's look at this thrilling and this glorious and wonderful event stated twice here in Matthew 24 and verse 27, where it says, the coming of the Son of Man. And verse 30, the Son of Man is coming. The Son of Man coming. So this morning we're going to focus on just one thing today about our Lord's coming, namely that his coming will be unmistakable and spectacular. Right on. This is very exciting material. It's truly wonderful material that should evoke joy, enthusiasm, great excitement, but also brings a real benefit to our lives today. It's not just, yee-haw, I know what's coming. It has impact now, right now, for your life as we wait for this wonderful day. Next week, we're going to have a much different message, one I'm already preparing my heart and mind for. As we look on the flip side, namely, his coming will be great and terrible as we look at Armageddon. Which side are we going to be on? Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this wonderful promise. Wow factor to see you coming back on the clouds. Unmistakable. Remarkable. Lord, I pray we keep our eyes focused on you as we already sang this morning so many times to keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, we love you. We want to be faithful. Lord, as Jeff sang, people need the Lord. Lord, I thank you that we have you. And if there's anyone here today, Lord, who doesn't, I pray you will open up their eyes to see, their ears to hear, their heart to receive you. Lord and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, his coming will be unmistakable and spectacular. I will share with you early on, do not expect to see anything on the PowerPoint that even can come close to that. It's going to be beyond even anything we could create, even in sci-fi movies today with all its technology. No one's going to be able to duplicate or replicate what this will be like. Wow. In verse 29, after the tribulation of those days, do you see those words? That is, after those days, in verse 22, of what? The great tribulation, in verse 21, that Jesus had previously described. So this is therefore a reference to the seven-year tribulation and Daniel's 70th week that we have already looked at together. This then is not a reference to the rapture of the church, which will take place before the tribulation, as we have already seen. What is it? This is a reference to the Lord's public coming in glory at the end of the seven-year tribulation, just before he will set up his millennial kingdom. Just before, you'll see this great sheep and goats judgment. And we'll see that coming up as well. So at this time, Jesus tells us when he, the Son of Man, comes, his coming will be unmistakable and spectacular. What's he say? He says, false Christ and false prophets will arrive. And they won't just arrive, they will be saying what? Behold, he is in the wilderness. He is in the inner room. What does that mean? And Jesus said, do not believe them. Don't believe them. They're lying. They're deceiving you. Don't be deceived when you hear these things about me. He is saying, in effect, when I come, it's going to be evident that I'm here. I'm not going to arrive in obscurity. That is, in the wilderness. Nor will I be confined to one locality, like in some inner room of some house. My coming will be apparent from one end of the horizon to the other. It will be unmistakable. We heard President Bush many years ago, shock and awe. It's going to be shock and awe. He says in verse 27, just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. When I come, said Jesus, I will turn the lights in the heavens off. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Dink, lights off. When I come, I will shake the powers of heaven itself as easily as you salt your fries. It will be a spectacular intergalactic asteroid shower like man has never seen. And then, as a prelude, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. The sign. They asked for the sign. The apostles had asked for in verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Here it is. The sign will be the glorious, unmistakable, and spectacular appearing of Jesus Christ himself. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes, that's nations, of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. I am the sign. Years later, many years later, the Apostle John would restate the Lord's prediction of his coming. He said, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Those are powerful words. It means take this to the bank. It will happen just the way I say it will happen. So it will be. Every eye will see him. Really? What about our time zones? But how? How will every eye see him? Oh, it's got to be satellite. It's got to be TV. I mean, wasn't the whole world watching? We just remembered 9/11, the towers. Oh, but wait a minute. But what about the farmers in remote China who have no access to such technology? Let's just take the Word of God literal. I believe the God who is going to turn off the heavenly lights, the sun in one part of the world and the moon in another, he can definitely manifest in the sky in some way, his coming to every part of the world and to every person. When he says every person will see, he means every person will see. You know, 2 days after this Olivet Discourse, 2 days, Jesus will speak again of his unmistakable and spectacular coming, and he'll speak of it as his trial. As he was standing in front of the entire Sanhedrin in Matthew 26, just a few chapters away, we're told this. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to give an answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." He says, "Yes, it is as you say." And in Mark 14, 62, he just said, "I am. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." You will see this sign. You will see it with your own eye. Daniel himself saw this glorious event 5 centuries earlier when he said this, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." This is throughout the Word of God. This is a clear messianic passage accepted by the Jewish people themselves. And Jesus claimed to be the fulfillment of it. And he is and will be. Have you noticed in those verses what the outcome of his coming is? Verse 14, "To him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might" what? "Serve him." In verse 27, "His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him." When the real Christ, the Messiah, comes, it will be a coming that is unmistakable and spectacular. There won't be any questions about it, resulting in a worldwide dominion in which everyone will serve and obey him alone. And if you love Jesus Christ, you hunger for that, for him and his glory. The long-promised kingdom made to the nation of Israel is going to come, and Jesus will rule. It will be a time of blessings, Ezekiel says, and not just a time of blessings in Ezekiel 34, 26. It will be showers of blessings. Showers of blessings, not only for Israel, but for the whole world in the millennium, as we will see definitely later in the upcoming weeks. But his coming, everyone, will be unmistakable and spectacular. And here is something amazing. I'm only going to make a comment, and I'm going to speak it with authority, and we will back it up in Scripture in the weeks ahead. You want to know what's something amazing about his coming, that's unmistakable and spectacular coming? We who have been raptured will be coming back with him in this unmistakable and spectacular return in glory. You are part of this event. You're not going to be down in the bleachers. You're coming back with him in the sky. That's next week. But until all these things take place, let's make sure that we have a proper perspective. For as we mentioned last week, what did Paul warn us? He warned us in 2 Timothy 3:1 that in the last days, difficult times or perilous times will come, right? And for the proper perspective that we should have in these perilous last days in which we are living, and which as we grow closer and closer to that day will get worse and worse, let's take a moment today and let's go back to the passage in Daniel 7 that was referenced by Jesus that we looked at earlier. Daniel saw four great beasts. He saw a lion in verse 4, a bear in verse 5, a four-headed leopard in verse 6, and in verse 7, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrifying, and extremely strong. Described in verse 23, a fourth kingdom that will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. And verse 25 will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints, those saved in the tribulation. These four beasts represent the four great kingdoms of history as they relate to Israel. Babylon is the lion. Medo-Persia is the bear. Greece, the leopard. These three are past history. There's only a fourth to come. The fourth and last beast is the revived Roman Empire, the global kingdom of the Antichrist in the tribulation that we have seen, and his world rulership that the Lord allows him to have. And notice, Daniel, when you read it, it was terrifying to Daniel. It was terrifying to Daniel as he looked at them. But did he just see four beasts? Did he just see the tribulation? Did he just see the trouble? Look deeper. He saw God reigning in heaven. I kept looking until thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. I kept looking in the night visions and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Wow. I'm hearing it. Wow. Remember this. Daniel was taken from the chaos below to the calm above. He was taken from the chaos below to the Ancient of Days, seated calmly and ruling from his throne. Isn't that amazing? All the little kingdoms below will have their day, but he is the Ancient of Days, the Almighty God, the Creator. Their little kingdoms will pass, but his endures forever. In fact, in Daniel 2, we see the God of heaven crushing and putting an end to the kingdoms of man, and he sets up his everlasting kingdom in Daniel 2, 44 through 45. God is not stressed out. In these visions of heaven, the curtains that hides the glory and the sovereignty of God is briefly drawn back. is briefly drawn back. That Daniel and we today, that we might see the throne room, that you might see the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man working out their plan. Though chaos, trials, and storms, and hardships, and strifes, and sorrow may be all around us, and will be all around us as sparks fly upwards, we saw Wednesday night, until the day God calls us home through the way of the earth or through the rapture. And these things may be impacting your life right now. Right now, some of the deepest trials you may be going through, some of the greatest chaos, some of the deepest struggles, some of the greatest sorrows may be penetrating your life today. But God is not in heaven wringing his hands, stressed out. The Ancient of Days is calm and in total control, and you can put your faith and trust in that. You know, before Jesus went to Calvary to be beaten by man, before he went there to be bruised by Satan, what did he do? He took his disciples to the mountaintop in Matthew 17, 1 and 2, to encourage them. And he did that for them, this. He too pulled back the curtain of his flesh, that they might see him in all his glory, that they might have a foretaste of the glory to come, to sustain them during the trials and hardships of this life that he was going to call them. In 1 Peter 1, 10 through 11, the Apostle Peter described for us the perplexity of the prophets. They spoke about the suffering of the coming Messiah next to the glory of the coming Messiah. And such, they were so perplexed by that. But we aren't any longer. For now, in your life, and I'm aware of this in many of people's lives, but I'm not aware of all. God is. You also may be perplexed. You may be perplexed at the workings of God in your life. You may be perplexed at what he's allowing in your life. For now, you may be suffering. For now, there is the cross, and you may be bearing one of heavy burden. For now, the nations around us rage against God, and those nations will have impact on you. For now, truth is trampled in the streets, and you suffer for speaking the truth. For now, choices are made, and the righteous suffer. But we can't make this more difficult than what it needs to be. When all looks bad and all hope looks lost, keep looking up until you see the glory of God and you see the glories to follow. As Peter said, keep looking up until you see the throne in heaven, as Daniel did. I kept looking up until the thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Keep looking to God and see him on his throne. And tell yourself the truth that it is God who rules, it is God who reigns, even when it seems the wicked prosper. Keep looking up. Notice what he said, in the night, as Daniel said in 7:13. In your nighttime, in your darkest moments, in your darkest trials, until you see the light of glory of his coming, keep looking up. Look at the Word of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Let him peel back the curtain a little bit and see God, the Ancient of Days, on his throne, calm, collective, with no stress, with you safely in his hand and in his plan. Our perspective in this life is not from below, it is from above. Keep looking past the trials of now. Oh, though hard and definitely in need of the Holy Spirit and His power and His strength. Look through the sorrows and the tears He allows in your life until you see Jesus coming for you on the clouds of heaven in all His power and all His glory. You know, last week we were challenged as we wait on the Lord. Remember to purify ourselves in 1 John 3:3 compared to 2 Timothy and what the last day's church looked like. But did you know this? The psalmist said in Psalm 73, 13 through 14, when he saw the wicked and he saw the trials of his life and he saw his own suffering, I thank God that he recorded this for us. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. Who here truly serving the Lord, truly pursuing His pleasure, truly pursuing His happiness, has not suffered when you've sought purity in your life? Who has not been tempted by this thought from the devil? I have done my best to serve the Lord, and it doesn't seem to pay. Things have not or do not seem to be working out as I have hoped or as I have planned. It's all in vain. I am paying the price, but it's not paying me back. Don't buy into that lie. Look up, look ahead, and remind yourself of the truth. What do you go on to say? Until I came into the sanctuary of God. He came and he looked into the throne room and he saw the Ancient of Days. Then I perceived their end. Surely you set them out in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. God is my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. He knows the end. But when he was down, when he thought that seeking purity wasn't paying off, until I came into the sanctuary of God. Oh, that we might have the eyes to see the chariots of God, as Elisha did, all around us, all about us, in 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17. If he could just peel back and show us his grand glory and his power, or if we could just see the myriad of angels ready to minister to us. You like that one? I like that. I don't know if that's how it is, that little young woman there serving the Lord. Protecting us, delivering us from evil. Or if we could just see the Lord who stands ready to receive us, as we saw in the Acts series, as we looked at Stephen and the glories that yet await us as Jesus, as the Father, were there, ready to receive him as he suffered for them, and he looked up and he saw them. If we could only see the Ancient of Days. Oh, how the Lord, how he desperately, desperately desires for us to change our perspective. Remember this today. Remember this. Just like the Lord whose return will be unmistakable and remarkable is the same Lord who remarkably makes no mistakes in our life. Amen, right? Let me close today. You're like, well, you're closing? Yeah. Let me close with a story of a missionary. This story is told by Ann Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter. An old missionary named Samuel Morrison, who after 25 years in Africa, was returning to the United States to die. As it so happened, he traveled home on the same ocean liner that brought President Theodore Roosevelt back from a hunting expedition in Africa. If you know anything about Teddy Roosevelt, he loved to go around the world on big hunting trips. When the great ship pulled into the New York Harbor, the dock where it was to tie up was jammed with what looked like the entire population of New York City. Bands were playing. Banners were waving. Choirs of children came out and were singing. Multicolored balloons were floating all over in the air. Flash bulbs were popping everywhere. And newsreel cameras were poised to record the return of the President of the United States. Well, Mr. Roosevelt stepped down the gangplank to thunderous cheers and to thunderous applause. He was showered with confetti and ticker tape. They said if the crowd had not been restrained by ropes and police, he would have been mobbed. At the same time this was happening, Samuel Morrison, he quietly walked off the boat. There was no one there to greet him. He slipped alone through the crowd, unnoticed. And because of the crush of people that day, to welcome the president, not only did he come home with no fanfare, he wasn't able even to hail a cab and had to walk blocks to get a ride. And inside his heart, he began to complain a little. Lord, the president has been in Africa for 3 weeks killing animals, and the whole world turns out to welcome him home. I've given 25 of my years of my life for you in Africa, serving you, and no one has greeted me or even knows I'm here. And it wasn't much long after that, he says, in the quietness of his heart, a gentle, loving voice whispered in his heart, "But my dear child, you are not home yet." Isn't that beautiful? Our ultimate reward, friends, and praise will come when we are finally home and when we see Jesus, because this is not our home. For now, until Jesus comes for us at the rapture or brings us to Him at our death, we can take great comfort that we can trust Him. And we can be faithful to serve Him, knowing that our future is bright and our future is glorious by the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is on the throne, and He's calm, and He's cool, and collected, and He's your God, even in your trials. He is the one true God. As we will see next week, we will be coming with Him in His unmistakable and spectacular return. So let's let Him live spectacularly in our lives today. You know, where's Caleb? Come on up. Yeah. We sang that song this morning. I sure don't have a voice like Jeff. Where's Jeff? Right here. Beautiful. Thank you. But we said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Just before we sing that with me, the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Right? So let me tell you something. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let's stand up and sing that song.